Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and hey, it's always wonderful to be here with you. I can tell you today has been a very challenging day, and you know, sometimes it's just like that, but it's all good. So, you know, we learn how to move forward regardless. But it's just been a very interesting day. Needless to say, this is why we are coming on at 11 o'clock instead of our regular time at 10:30. Come to find out, we did not have our show scheduled for tonight as we normally did, so we had to make some quick kind of arrangements, but it's all right because we now are on the air, and again, we are very thankful to be here with you tonight. Before we begin our program, as usual, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator, and we are always very cognizant of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Let's see, what do we want to do right about now? Well, we want to kind of give you some insight into what we're going to talk about tonight. We have a question for you, and that is, of course, who is Reverend Joy Powell? Now, we're going to be talking about Reverend Joy Powell ongoingly now. You know, we just recently got access to this information, to this case, and, you know, the Black Women's Defense League is a part of the official Me A Woman movement. And one of the things that we do is focus on specific cases as it pertains to Black women and girls here in the U.S. and, of course, abroad as well. And recently we did get some information about a case that we have become interested in. And we're going to begin to lodge a investigation into this case. As it turns out, it appears that the sister may have been railroaded. And that just puts it mildly. But at any rate, we're going to talk to Brother Joe, who is a member of the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement based in New York. And he's going to tell us a little bit about what they've been doing to kind of help get information out and to help support Reverend Joy Powell. We're going to also talk a little bit about, of course, we got the report earlier today in regard to Malika Shabazz, again, another sister that is incarcerated, and we want to know what you all think about that. But also, this being Black Music Month, well, we mentioned it briefly on our radio program on, I think it was Tuesday. And, you know, we had just gotten the video at that point, and we're talking about the monster video that Kanye West put out. And I'm telling you, I mean, we're just floored by, you know, seeing how this brother, who is so very talented, has pretty much, as far as we're concerned, just, you know, has just lost his mind, to say the least. For those who hadn't seen it, we suggest that you take a look at the video titled Monster, why this brother decided that he would do something like that is kind of interesting, but we're going to talk about that, but we want to also now get your vote. We want to get your opinion, and we're going to give you a way to begin to communicate with us so that you can tell us, you know, what do you think about what's going on in the music entertainment industry. And again, this being so-called Black Music Month, we would like to know who you think are the 10 top, or the worst, shall we say. And again, top, you know, out of there's so many of them, so we want the 10 worst artists who are kind of known now for depicting Black women in a certain demeaning kind of way. We want to know who you think are the worst ones, okay? So we want you to begin to forward to us your vote on who you think these people are. We want to at some point begin to accumulate that data so that we can take some other kinds of action a little later on. At any rate, you can email that to nationalmwm@aol.com. or to officialmwm@yahoo.com. And starting on Monday, we should have the blog up and running. We had a lot of computer problems this week that kind of slowed some things up, so we weren't able to get the blog page up and running for, you know, you to be able to go there and vote. But we should have that ready for you on Monday. This, again, has just been a very, very crazy, hectic kind of week. But, you know, again, because we are indeed who we are, we know how to fight. We therefore know that a lot of times things come up that get in our way that tend to kind of make things even more difficult. I mean, struggle is already difficult as it is, but, you know, sometimes it gets just extra, extra difficult. And this week has just been one of those weeks, which, by the way, tells us that we're doing the right thing. Every now and then you get some reassurance that we're doing the right thing, because it gets so very, very complicated that, you know, we have to be able to really look at this thing very closely, be able to examine it, and with that, you know, just say, hey, sometimes that's just the way it is. When you're doing the kind of work that is really relevant to the upliftment of our people, you can best believe it's going to be some stuff. And again, it certainly has been. Before we get ready to go to our live line, we want to send our condolences out to Sister, Mariam. The wife of Anwar Kwesi, Mariam Kwesi. We understand that her father recently made transition, and we'd like to send our love and prayers out to her and let her know that she and the family are definitely in our thoughts. I want to also remind you, if you're in the Philadelphia area, tomorrow is Odun Day. Odun Day, this is the 38th year of Odun Day. Of course, it is an African street festival, one of the best out here. And it's gotten a little weak since some years ago. But nevertheless, you know, we got to be thankful for what we have, because these people are trying to take everything they can. And they definitely will do it if they can. So we salute Odun Day, those who are coming in from out of town. We look forward to seeing you all. We're going to be out there tomorrow giving out information. We have information on the STAR Project that we'll have for you tomorrow at Odun Day, as well as some tips for women. Our women need to know what to do. So we will have information sheets for you tomorrow so that you can get some just basic idea on some of the things that you will be getting training on, including not just the physical, but the mental and the spiritual as well. So tomorrow, if you're in the Philadelphia area, come down to Odun Day. It probably will start around 19th and South Street. Is definitely up around 22nd, 23rd and South. I think that's the main stage. And we'll certainly be out tomorrow giving out flyers. We start our Sister Soldiers Street Patrol, and we'll be giving out flyers to make certain that our sisters are able to get information about the Black Women's Defense League and the Million Woman Universal Movement. Okay, with that said, we're going to get ready to go to our live line. And as we said earlier, Sister Munira brought to our attention the case of Reverend Joy Powell. And shortly afterwards, we began to check into it further, and a brother by the name of Brandon King gave us a call to let us know that, you know, there is a group where there are some folks who are concerned and have, you know, tried to keep abreast of what's been going on. And, you know, and as I told Brother Brandon the other day, it's real interesting that when his sisters who are incarcerated, a lot of times you will not hear about that case at all. Just as with the Scott sisters, they were in there for 16 years before people started hearing anything about it. So here we have another situation, and this time we have a sister who is known in the community, known for fighting and speaking out against police terrorism and brutality and so forth, and now, unfortunately, has you know, been put in a position where she's incarcerated and now indicted and will be going for a hearing in August to determine for how long. In other words, that's a sentencing situation. So we want to kind of really stay up on this. And so joining us now is Brother Joe, who is a member representative from the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement in the New York area. Of course, that organization has chapters nationwide. And needless to say, when we say Malcolm X, then that should tell you right there that it's definitely about, you know, some nation building, about some very clear types of self-determination, and certainly about really some very strong and active kinds of things. And so we're going to go to our live line, and again, joining us is Brother Joe, who is going to talk to us about a little bit about the case of Reverend Joy Powell. And again, this sister, we ask that you all, we're going to give you the website address shortly, because we want people to be sure to go to that website. Before we do go to Brother Joe, we want to also remind you that next week the Underground Railroad will have its presentation or its program in celebration of Juneteenth. That's next week. That's the Burlington Underground Railroad. We're going to give you more information about that as well. I think that's it for the actual event. So, of course, we're going to give you more information about the upcoming Million Woman March 14-year anniversary. We have a lot of things that are being planned, including a Pan-African Women's Literary Expo is going to be happening, and also a Holistic Health and Healing Expo. So we're going to give you more information about that, too. But let's go to our live line, and again, we're going to be joined by Brother Joe, and we're going to talk a little bit about the case of Reverend Joy Powell. Brother Joe, are you there?
Hey, how are you doing? How are you? Peace.
Oh, greetings. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well.
Very good. Okay, Brother B, before we go into talking about Reverend Joy, tell us a little bit about you and the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement.
All right. Well, the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement, I believe, was founded in 1990, and we're an organization of New Africans or Africans in America for self-defense, self-determination, and self-respect. We do work around people's self-defense campaign is one of our committees. We do work around, like, interpersonal violence issues. We do cop watch. We, follow the police around with video cameras, make sure that they do what they do and we get it on tape, and maybe, you know, kind of intimidate them out of doing what they do, and in the process give our people some evidence in case it needs to go that way. And we support our political prisoners of war, which is why we know about Joy Powell, which is how we support Reverend Joy. And I just came from seeing a brother, Maliki Shakur Lateen, locked up at Dannemora, who's a member of the Black Liberation Army, and a freedom fighter that's been in prison over 30 years for fighting the occupying army. So, we do what we can to work with the youth. We have a youth committee. We have a New African Scouts program. We teach them, like, kind of how to deprogram them, you know, from the you understand the system and whatnot. Yeah, and, give them tasks, skills, get up their confidence and self-respect. They have a summer camp that we take them out to in Mississippi or Alabama, wherever we can get space in the territory. And New African Women's Caucus, we do work around anti-heterosexism in the New York chapter anyway. And, we just have a variety of programs. It's a broad-based organization, grassroots movement, trying to just get everybody involved to liberate ourselves by any means necessary.
All right. Thanks. Well, Brother, thank you again for taking the time to join us tonight and certainly to provide us with this information about Reverend Joy Powell. It's not a name that most have heard of. I'm just recently hearing of her, and I try to keep my ears pretty much open to, you know, what's going on. So tell us a little bit about Reverend Joy Powell and what has happened and, you know, what this case is about.
You want the long, you want the medium?
Whatever you want to bring, brother. We have plenty of time, so whichever way you want to bring it, it's all right.
All right. Well, I Our political prisoner of war committee came to know of her case maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I think. And yeah, she's a political prisoner. Her history, give you a little bit of the history. I guess like kind of the textbook style history before we go more into the personal, like, you know, interpersonal piece. So she did 3 years. She's from Rochester. You know, she got caught up in street organizations, did 3 years for, offenses related to, illegitimate capitalist ventures. And she was released in 95. And for 12 years from that point on, she wasn't caught up in any kind of violence, anything that they could get her on. She's became a Pentecostal minister. She kind of turned her life around, decided to use protest as a weapon. So after doing those 3 years for, some offenses related to illegitimate capitalism, she got out and she had a hair salon that she owned. She turned that into a safe haven where children could go, and she would feed children after school and during the summer, very much akin to the Black Panther Party's free breakfast program. She taught anti-violence classes there. She would have the kids go out and she put on anti-violence skits to kind of increase awareness and get the issue out there and start a dialogue. Would do neighborhood cleanups where she would take them into the areas of the neighborhood and they would meet people and talk, but like actually clean up the street and like get rid of the garbage, because you know how sanitation can be and yeah. You know how they care about our neighborhoods. So they candlelight vigils for people who were the victims of violence. And she would take the kids to scared straight programs in prison and pressured the community eventually to clean up this area, Fulton Street, which had a lot of vacant buildings out of which people were, there was horizontal warfare from like street organizations and the distribution of drugs, as they call it. Yeah, she got that area cleaned up, and the vacant buildings were actually demolished, and like different residences were built that didn't facilitate that form of illegitimate capitalism. So she did a lot to clean up the community. It's all documented. She everything was fine until she got into her anti-police brutality work. And she started, she did protests at the mayor's office because there were incidents of like police being really brutal, police being really sloppy, just a variety of terrible things. But like the culmination of it, give you a few, in 1 year, like six people of color died in the custody of the Rochester Police Department. And, that's just a little disturbing, obviously. And the culmination of her rage and a lot of the community's rage was a mentally ill man was screaming that Jesus was going to come and he's going to die today. Well, he was unarmed and in his underwear and ran at some of the pigs and they beat him to death. So she began to agitate around that. A lot of people saw the incident, were getting intimidated by the police and not speaking. Concerned citizens and store owners, it's been documented, were assaulted by these police and they filed complaints. They were just kind of, police just running wild. So she brought this issue to the mayor's office and was like, about the mental health issue. And they were compelled to develop the emergency response team, which is a group that would be called in on mental health issue cases to diffuse the situation and deal with the people involved, because they were trained in psychology and sensitivity and not just the brute force that is the hallmark of the pig. So they, in one incident, because, this program costs like over $1 million and taxpayers' money, this team wasn't really dispatched, because you know how they are with budget cuts and cutting what's important so they can maybe maximize profit. So they didn't dispatch this team, and because of that, a 13-year-old girl named Lashadika Mason was killed by some rookie pig, this 13-year-old girl. And Reverend Joy started agitating about that, and she agitates about that, and then just, weird things started to happen. Like, her granddaughter got abused, So she called the pay because, you know, we have no other recourse sometimes, or at least some people feel we don't. And she called them, and then they end up coming and find out who she is, and then they arrest Joy and her son, who's severely disabled, for the abuse. Charges are filed against them, and of course later dropped because they were unsubstantiated. They were the ones who called the police over her granddaughter being attacked, you know. So Joy forms an organization called Equality for All, and they meet with the mayor's office and talking about, like, that these things are still going on. Again, like, another time, the emergency task force is not dispatched, and an unarmed 50-year-old woman is gunned down, and her daughter saw this, gunned down by the pigs for running at them with nothing. And her daughter saw this and witnessed her mother just barehanded, unarmed, running at these pigs. She gets gunned down. Well, all of a sudden, the police take her up to the room, like her room, and in the house for like 20 minutes. And then when she comes down, there's a knife placed by the hand of her mother, who's shot. You know, like, they just do, like, really just using their power stuff. So she's continuing to agitate on this kind of thing. She herself is made, and, like, it all culminates in, she herself is made the victim of violence. She's assaulted by some people. She gets treated on the scene for her wounds. She later has to go to the hospital. She files with the police. And what happens is she spends 3 days, like, from, like, October 6th to October 8th of 2007. She spent 3 days, like, filing and talking to sergeants, talking to everybody at the police station, trying to get something done. She's on her way home. She gets a phone call saying that there's 10 police at her, searching her house, and that she is going to be charged with two counts of first-degree burglary and second-degree assault. And it turns out that the people that attacked her are the ones that claiming that she abused them, even though, Reverend Joy is the one with the wounds, and she's the one who documented the incident, and she documented it before these people got involved and decided to call her as the attacker, you know. And conveniently, it's the same police that she was going to go to internal affairs on that ended up driving this woman to the pawn shop to get her where her stolen goods were said to be. And it's this police that enabled her to file these charges. And meanwhile, the charges that Joy had, nothing gets done on those. And, like, the person's never pursued, and they were given immunity to testify against Joy. And the situation is, like, in the trial, she was not given a jury of her peers. Like, you know, but that's never the case. But, like, you know, like, and I went to her most recent trial, and the way they do it is just an all-white jury, all of them these, like obese white folk working for the Department of Corrections or Chase Bank. And these are the people that are going to adjudicate what goes on in a neighborhood that they don't know anything about, you know, and people that they don't know. And they're just going to make their judgments. But whatever, that's how it goes. She's denied a jury of her peers that time. She was not allowed to present any evidence. She was not allowed the right to testify that she was an activist and a pastor. And when she still has legal issues, they don't allow that to be brought up. And she was not allowed to call her main witnesses to the trial. And exculpatory evidence was withheld, and, you know, supporters, and she say deliberately so. So, like, that happened. She's sentenced to 16 years based on this crime. There are rapists that get sentenced to 7. Yet she's, like, she supposedly burglarized these people and, like, stole their property and, like, hit them up a little bit. Like, but, like, they weren't the ones, like, filing, you know, like, complaints and, like, having their injuries documented. But still, that's what happens. And she's the one, she's sent down for 16 years. And now, on top of doing, I think, 4 of those 16 years that she's been sentenced to, on top of doing 4 of those, now all of a sudden, 18-year-old cold case homicide gets brought up and pinned on her. And what happens is her co-defendant in this recent cold case that they had no reason to bring up, like, her co-defendant, who was accused of being the person, being the trigger person, that person was acquitted. She, however, not accused of even being the trigger person. She is found guilty after 15 minutes. And I went to part of the most recent trial, and it was pretty absurd. And she was convicted based on a rap song, because she put her voice on a rap track, And they say that on that rap track, she says that if you take her money, she'll kill you. And because of that, because she's on a rap song, and that's what they heard in that rap song, like, people were ready to convict.
So now she's been found guilty, and the sentencing hearing is scheduled for August. Is that correct?
I believe so. I believe August 20th.
Okay. Now, before we go to that part, I this is not that I'm so surprised. It's just that, I mean, this stuff just gets more bizarre every time I hear, you know, some of what's going on. Not surprising, of course, but nevertheless, you can't help but to go, what? Okay, let me just get some points of clarity here. One is, and of course, I think I already know the answer, but by any chance, does she have a court-appointed attorney?
How did you guess?
Oh, how did I guess? When you said she wasn't allowed to present her witnesses and this and that, it was like, Tim, that's exactly what you were saying.
Yep.
Okay, anybody that's familiar with how this stuff goes, once you kind of hear certain little things, you already know where the setup is at. Okay?
Yep.
Now, family, I'm saying this because, see, we have to be real clear that when you have a lawyer who is, in most cases, a professional liar, sometimes they're not really on your side because they make these deals with the, you know, with the judge or the prosecutor or whatever. So we also want to point it out to people that we only have like a few folks who represent us. Okay, that's point number one. So when Brother Joe said that, you know, sister wasn't allowed to present her case, whatever that may entail, that already told me. That already told me that 9 out of 10, the deal had already been cut. They was just going through the formalities. But anyway.
She's going to be sentenced, I believe, the 1st of August. I believe the 1st. But it may have been postponed to the 20th. I'm not 100% sure. But at the very least, the most recent article I have on it says the 1st of August.
Okay, well, we'll definitely be – we'll know for certain, you know, between now and then, without a doubt. Now, the other question is, the organization that Reverend Joyce started, are they still functioning?
I actually don't know. Like, most of my knowledge of her is in, like, just dealing with her, like, on the support level. So I'm not in Rochester. That's the unfortunate part. Like, there's very few New Africans in Rochester, I think, that are doing this kind of prisoner support. I know there's a lot of allies, like, that do so. So, like, we try to support, but from New York, and I mean, NYC, the city, and it's like an 8-9 hour trip up for us. So, like, in terms of the on the ground ongoing organizing, it's not really feasible that we plug into it. So we just kind of restrict it to the prisoner support. You know, do what we kind of can do, but luckily she's only like 45 minutes out of the city, like Metro North. You know, like it's real easy to get there, and so we're able to keep tabs that way. She's at Bedford Hills right now. If possible, I'd like to give the address at the end, maybe, if you want.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And before we do that, though, let's get back to, because in evaluating situations, because we have listeners who, you know, they do that kind of thing. They evaluate cases or at least begin a process. So we want to try to provide as much insight at this point in time, because we're going to definitely look into it a bit more. But, you know, some things come to mind right now. Another thing, and the reason why I asked about the organization is because my experiences have taught me that a lot of times, and we've, of course, read and heard about it from COINTELPRO and other things. But what we know for certain, and I bear witness to it, family, you know, the enemy will send people into your organization, and they will, you know, create either havoc, meaning just some kind of disorder or disruptiveness, or, you know, just being your spine on you, or plant stuff on you, or whatever. So I was just curious as to whether or not the group was still functioning, because a lot of times in situations like this, if they won't, because, you know, somebody sent in to help dismantle it.
Yeah. I wonder. I mean, like, I know the group was called Equality for All. I don't know
mm-hmm.
if they're still organizing, and if so, under that name. But, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I imagine maybe folk in that area could plug in, or if people are interested, they could, you know, like, investigate it themselves, Equality for
mm-hmm.
All.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest
and tell you, I look for it. I look to try to find a phone number, an address,
yeah.
and I couldn't find one. Everything I found was from some time back. Okay, so that's why I was wondering if maybe you might have known, because so far our research is coming up with nothing. And, again, you know, I always find it interesting when you have a sister such as Reverend Joyce, who I'm hearing, who has done so much work. I find it very interesting when the group, the organization, you know, who was there when all this was going on, but yet where they at when she's now in a crisis.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like also, like, a lot of the times that's what they try to do. Like, they want us to, like, kill each other, but and like, work for them, but they don't want us to, like, unite. So it's like,
right.
like, you know, you mentioned COINTELPRO. It's like, if you read the documents, it says, like, a large, like, you know, like a large part of it is not only to, like, you know, disrupt and, you know, and inform on these organizations, but also to prevent the rise of a black messiah. It literally says that in the documents. And,
right,
like,
yeah.
And, like, they are, like, you know, and I do some organizing, you know, I do organizing in the anarchist community, and, like, a big issue for the pigs when coming at us is, like, they're always like, who's the organizer here? And, like,
right.
if people organize autonomously without leaders, it's a lot easier to get by. And the thing is, like, they're always looking for a leader. So when there's a scenario where there is a very strong personality and there is someone that
right.
you can say, she's the bedrock of this strength,
right.
like, you take out
right.
that person, and then a lot of the time other people, they're not motivated anymore, they get distracted,
right.
they lose their
right.
support, they lose their willpower. So it's like, and, you know, people just trying to live, especially in the area she's from, where it sounds like there's a lot of horizontal violence and a lot of, like, there's third world conditions, you know, like, there's so many, like, third world black and brown nations in this country that just aren't recognized as such. But, like,
right.
you know, and like Rochester, definitely. Just because I mean,
right.
we've met Joy's family, we've met her son, we've met her sister, her cousin, you know, and like they can tell you, you know, they can tell you what it's like there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Her son at 18 was murdered over, like,
right.
you know, drug related violence. It's
right.
like it, the community is really afflicted.
Yeah, I did read that, because, again, we have began to, you know, start accumulating some data so that we can make some kind of assessment and really become more familiar with the case. But again, you know, and this to me is an example of, there's so many of our women who are now incarcerated over some trumped up nonsense. We
mm-hmm.
remember a few years back when there was a Kemba Smith. You know, and it was Congresswoman Maxine Waters. She spoke at the Million Woman March in Kemba's behalf in the attempt to get her freed at that point. And at that time, she was incarcerated because of her association with someone that was dealing with drugs and was given,
yep.
I think, some, like, a life sentence or some old madness. So, you know, we have got to be a lot more proactive now, because you hit it right on the nose, my brother, and I said this publicly just a few weeks ago, and when I said it, the brother looked at me like, huh? And so I'm going to say it again for everyone else, and it's this. As brother indicated in the COINTELPRO papers, it talked about preventing the rise of a new black messiah. Well, see, here's the catch to that, and this is one reason why I truly believe that the black woman is now public enemy number one, okay?
I hear that.
Because, see, they knew they had to stop our brother, the black man, all right? But they now realize one of the best-kept secrets, best-kept weapons, is the black woman, see? So now there is a target an attack on the black woman because they realize in doing that they kind of kill two birds with one stone, which is if you take out the mother, you also will be taking out the child.
Exactly. And, like, and a lot of the times in our communities, it's the, I think, like, it's the mother that's the stabilizing force.
Right, right.
So you
and
take
see,
out, like, warfare,
right.
You know, you take out the stabilizing force and, like, you're...
That's right.
You're,
that's right.
Enemy
the game
is less
has
vulnerable.
Yes, the game. The game has changed enormously, and you know it's going to take progressive minds. It's going to take real spirits of courage and tenacity to be able to now withstand what these people are really now putting out here. So this situation with Reverend Joy, to me, it is a classic example of what I suspect we're going to see more of in the very near future.
I wish I didn't, but I do agree. And and like what you were saying on the whole like taking out the women thing. It's funny, like when we visit Joy and we talk to Joy, and
mm-hmm.
and when we just like if you talk to you know like talking to any woman that I know that's been incarcerated in the U.S. concentration camps, they say that most of the women, like 90% of the women in there with them, are there because of a man. Like some, like the majority have like a male co-defendant. So
mm-hmm.
it's like that's why it's like someone like Joy, who had like you know she has this salon, she made it a safe haven, she's teaching anti-violence work. Like it's that interpersonal
right.
work that like gets us stop killing each other and like to stop like allowing these situations to obtain that really does like fix things. So it's like you know if she's
right.
trying to give all people like you know of all genders like self-respect, you know that's gonna
mm-hmm.
lead to. Hopefully, like, fewer incidents of that kind of situation, but that's why they take folk out.
Sure, sure. Now, Brother, let me ask this question, and I'm going to go to the line. It seems like someone has a question or a comment. But before we do that, I went to the website, and I saw something there that indicated that sister may have been raped.
Joy Powell?
Yeah.
Yeah, she...
Okay.
She was upon her first bout of incarceration. She was raped at Albion Correctional Facility by a guard that stalked her. And she went into protective custody over that. And since then, she suffers from PTSD, anxiety, and bipolar disorder. And she has a great fear of police officers, specifically male police officers. But, you know... There's obviously no concern or compassion from the
wow.
system.
Okay. I'm going to hold my
comments.
I
mean, if you
want to
hear something really ugly, when she goes back to trial, because they try her in Rochester, they keep her locked up at Albion. Like, so twice we've tried to visit her and bring food packages, and we come all the way up there, and they're like, she's at trial. They randomly call her for trial. They don't really notify her when, and she's always up there for a week. So she has to stay back at Albion, back where that happened, just because that's arbitrarily where they're going to put her because of locations. So she's got to revisit that.
Okay. I'm going to reserve my response for the moment. Caller, you are at... Wow, that just took me somewhere else. I believe the last digits of your number of your phone is 2051, I think. Did you have a comment or question?
No, greetings, sis. This is Brother Andrew.
Oh, peace, Brother Andrew. How are you?
Sis, well, you went somewhere with the last.
I didn't even recognize the number. Okay.
Yeah, you went somewhere. The brother, when the last comment took me somewhere, too, sis. I just want to just comment briefly, brother. I'm so glad that, and peace and hope up to everybody, your family that's tuned
yeah.
in. I'm just glad to hear that this brother is on point and many of the things that he's saying. My heart and spirit goes out to the sister. I just a word of encouragement, bro. This has been an ongoing battle, and I salute Sister for lay for bringing it to the forefront that our women are definitely under attack. And hopefully anyone that's in the same spirit that has the same type of training and understanding about what we're up against, that that was the next logical link for them to attack was our women. And there have been great Honorable Elijah Muhammad. A lot of brothers in the past have told us to protect our women, and somehow or another that particular school of thought or discipline has escaped or being attacked to the degree that it's been diluted to the person don't understand, or the man child now doesn't understand how important that is. And we're beginning to deal with some of the ramifications for people not to take that seriously. I'm just so glad to hear you, brother, kind of expound and say some of the things that you said and that you're aware of. And I just wanted to comment briefly and to encourage you. It kind of upsets me when I hear, and I'm really not in a position to move out to the degree that I know that has to be moved out on. And I'm just glad that you're aware of it, bro. And you keep in the fight. And just know that those of us, when we're able, we will be of support to you, okay?
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
And that's all I'm talking about right now.
All right, Brother Andrew, thank you very much. And, of course, you know we're going to be participating now and getting involved in this as well. Brother Joe, let me see. There's another question I wanted to ask you, because I kind of got off. My train of thought kind of went somewhere else when we started discussing that rape situation. That's a very touchy kind of thing for me, because I deal a lot with that issue with our sisters, and it seemed like I never seemed to get used to it, or, you know, I just, whenever I hear it, it still seemed to kind of have an effect.
I'm sorry if that was triggering.
No, but I mean, as Brother Andrew mentioned, we need to hear this. We need to know. It needs to be understood, because our people are just too lax when it comes to what's going on inside these prisons, and especially as it pertains to our women. I mean, we're being scarred in ways that has to be understood. So, again, I appreciate you, you know, bringing the clarity and the information. And we're going to continue on a regular basis to provide updates. Now, from the Black Women's Defense League aspect, we are preparing a letter to send to Reverend Joyce so that we can hopefully go to visit with her very soon and really sit down and have a one-on-one. In terms of your organization, Brother Joe, now I know you said that you are dealing with it from a support aspect. What exactly does that entail? Just so I can kind of get a general idea.
Well, whatever we can do, like, but at the very least, we try to visit as often as possible. Having like visits is really important. We keep up a regular correspondence, encourage people to keep up a regular correspondence. We have fundraisers where possible for people to donate to provide for like commissary or legal fundraisers. We do like Malcolm X Grassroots Movement actually has the Black Caucus hip hop concert every year in August to commemorate the Black August. And with all of the proceeds from that go to support our PPs and POWs behind the walls. Other support is also in certain facilities in the state, you can get one 35-pound package of food a month. Others are pretty terrible and only allow two 20-pound packages a year. And that's in exchange for there being a TV installed in every cell, even though no one in the cells is ever consulted as to if they want that or not. So they'll just decide if they don't want to spend the money on keeping the package room open, that instead of being able to get one 35-pound food package a month, which can sustain you and can keep healthy food in your body, they're like, well, we're just going to put a TV in here and allow you two 20-pound packages of food a year. And, like, that's going to lead to people not being able to get that helpful food in them. It's like a form of slow torture, of, like, slow infection, you know? Because we have to eat to live, you know what I'm saying? Like that's like the best thing, like.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, and it's like, you know how this prison healthcare is like. We had a white ally, Marilyn Buck. She was involved. One of the folk who part of the Revolutionary Armed Task Force that did expropriations and liberated some of our political prisoners in exile.
Yeah.
You know, she expired. Unfortunately, because of untreated cancer, and the prison medical industry doesn't care. Like they never feel it's an emergency, but whatever. Either way, it's all just forms of warfare against us. But yeah, so this food package piece, though, she's one of the folk who can get. She's in a facility where she can get the one package a month. So just checking in with family, making sure that she got that package. Just give people as much as they can if they want books. You know, anything that you can just give folk. And you know, I'm actually talking with a friend of hers, a lawyer in Mississippi, who we're trying to work out something where he can do her writ of habeas corpus, and at least like work on it a bit, and see if we can get some New York lawyers to actually take up the work of putting it through. And because you got to be licensed to practice law in New York if you're going to do any
kind of work for
her. So and if anybody's like listening and like knows of like a lawyer that has the time to take on something like this, like please get in touch. But yeah, we support however we can. That's what prisoner support deals with.
Okay.
And it could be anything. Like I haven't, there's another PP that I support, he had like a book published recently, and there's a lot of typos in it, so he can't, you know, do the legwork of like calling them and being like, hey, you spelled my name wrong. So it's like little things like that, just like whatever the person needs, just whatever they need and whatever you're willing to do.
Okay. Wow. So definitely what needs to be looked at, of course, is the obtainment of a lawyer.
Someone in New York. That doesn't even have to be able to put in all the legwork, because we got paralegals and things. It's just a matter of would they be able to look it over, and would they be able to put their name in there, put their name to it, and be like, I'm willing to take responsibility for this work that gets handed in, and to because it's like we got to stay on them. We got to do what we can, until we got to do what we can.
Okay, great. Okay, at this point, let's give out the website information and Reverend Joy's mailing address. Do you have that readily available?
I do. I have the mailing address. If the listener folk can grab, writing implements. Reverend Joy Powell, JoyPowell. DIN number 07G0632. That's 07G0632. It's important to if you don't include the DIN number, it won't get through. Bedford Hills Correctional Facility. P.O. Box 1000. P.O. Box 1000, Bedford Hills, New York, 10507. And the website, I think I could maybe pull it up online real quick right now while I'm here. Yeah, freejoypowell.org.
Right. Okay. Mhm.
freejoypowell.org. And yeah, and just people, if you're, you know, New Africans interested in getting involved, we know, I know that there's a Philly chapter that formed not too long ago, maybe like last year. I think it's you know, if you want to get up with MXG, it's you know, best game in town right now for liberation, in my opinion. I give as much energy as I can muster to it. www.mxgm.org.
Okay.
www.mxgm.org. Hit up the Philly chapter, and yeah, definitely check out political prisoners. It talks about it a little bit, but you know, that's more for plugging in for grassroots movement work.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and in terms of just political prisoner support, there's the Jericho movement. The JerichoMovement.com, thejerichomovement.com, and abcf.net. That's the Anarchist Black Cross Federation, and that's got like a great listing of all different types of political prisoners.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. All right, family. If for some reason you did not get all of the information that was just given, remember, you can hear any New Day Resurrection Liberation show at any given time. Once it's aired live, it's always in the archives. You can always review it at any time at your convenience. If also you need additional information or you would like to have it sent to you directly, you can just email us at nationalmwm@aol.com or officialmwm@yahoo.com. Brother Joe just gave several groups, organizations that do a lot of great work in terms of the prisons, in terms of political prisoners, and just injustices in general. So by all means, you know, get in touch, get connected. Of course, the Black Women's Defense League, we focus specifically on sisters. Also, sisters in terms of being of African descent. That is our primary focus and goal. We do have other components that deal with political prisoners, such as our Human Rights Division. We're now getting ready to launch our campaign for Mumia Abu-Jamal, as well as Dr. Matul Shakur. So hopefully, my brother, we will be able to further collaborate and really get some of this work done that so desperately needs to happen, like right now. I mean, some of these political prisoners have been incarcerated for 30 years plus, and I mean, that's just, we just can't allow this anymore. We've got to get them out.
Yeah, Jaleel Muntakim is coming up on his 40th year. Sundiata Kole, I don't know how long he's been in. It's
right.
It's ridiculous. We got a lot of folk locked down for way too long.
Well, brother, let me please extend to you, because in October, when we do the commemoration for the Million Women March, there's several special sessions that's going to occur. One dealing with reparations. The other is a pre-plebiscite kind of forum to introduce our people to the idea, and our sisters in particular, because once we get our sisters really politicized and really clear on some things, this is going to change the whole course of what's presently going on. So we're going to provide information about genocide in the 21st century. That's going to be a part of our reparations presentation. We're going to talk about preparing for a plebiscite, so that we can really begin to battle these things in a more realistic kind of way. So, brother, I extend my invitation to you and members of the organization. Oh, and you mentioned something about you have a women's component.
Yeah.
What was the name of it again? Because I want to make sure I send a special letter.
It's the New African Women's Caucus.
Okay.
And that's our committee. It's all sisters exclusively. Just by joining MXG, you're a part of it, and you're as involved or not involved as you want to be.
All right, because we want to definitely have them on board for October, because the Million Women March will be going to Africa in 2012. And in the process of that, in our five-year action plan, we do declare to make some clear statements at the UN. And we're going to travel through the diaspora, establishing the first global movement for all women and girls of African descent. So, you know, we definitely want as many of our progressive organizations, all of our self-determination-oriented groups and persons to, you know, to have access if they so choose to. So we'll definitely get that information to you.
Yeah, that's beautiful, the Pan-African solidarity is what we need.
Definitely, definitely. All right, my brother, well, again,
thank you so much for having me on.
And, you know, one more time, give out your, if there's a contact information for you or for someone from the group, if people want to be able to connect with you, you want to give out some contact information again?
For MXG specifically? www.mxgm.org. www.mxgm.org.
Okay, now someone, I'm looking here, someone, oh my goodness, I lost them. Looks like someone had a question and somehow we just got bumped off.
We were having
some technical difficulties. Yeah, we just got bumped off of line for some strange reason, but it's okay because we were only down for our last, like, 5 minutes or so. We're going to try to get back on, but somebody had a question. And just that quickly, this is what happens when you're doing live radio.
Stuff happens. So even though we have everyone on
the telephone, we have everybody still on the telephone hookup, but those folks that were listening online, we just lost them. So we're trying to get them back, but we just have a few minutes left, so we probably can't at this point. But my brother, we will stay in touch, and we're going to continue to you know, make sure that updates brought about on Reverend Joy. So, you know, we're here. Our mic is open to you and to anyone else that has some, you know, information or updates for us, okay?
Totally.
Wow. Well, we are down to our last few minutes. We probably will not be able to get back online in the next couple of minutes. But those of you who are still on the telephone, we thank all of you for tuning in and for staying in tune.
Thank you for listening.
We're trying to get back online, but we're having some problems. But most folks know that that does happen, and they usually, you know, wait and, you know, get right back on. But we only have like 3 minutes left. Before we go, Brother Joe, do you have is the Malcolm X grassroots movement? Is there anything coming up on, you know, from your group? Like, because I know a lot of times, I know you're getting ready for Black August, because we're going to do things
Black
too. Yeah,
Black August is coming up.
Okay.
And yeah, that's what we Black August. Just Black August. Put it all in. You know, like just be aware of it. We are having an art show at the Brecht Forum for Black August on the 20th of August. I'm not sure when the concert is going to be, but every year we have like a big concert. This year we're going to have an art show. We're going to have a film screening, going to have the concert, and then probably like a health and wellness day. That's what we did last year. And, it was cool. I got to teach.
We have 1 minute left and we were able to get back online, and it looks looks like Sister Lanira had a question or a comment. Sister Lanira, you got like 1 minute. Let's see if I can get you on real quick. Sis, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Peace.
Okay, go ahead. We got
Peace.
You.
Yeah, a member of the next grassroots movement just recently became a member, but been working with him. I'm concerned because you raised the issue about the campaign and what were they doing. I'm trying to figure out what is specifically the campaign that Malcolm X Grassroots is doing in terms of our sister. Now, the other political prisoner stuff that you spoke about, we know you do that like annually during Black August events. And also, we have a Kamal as an attorney, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What's going to have to happen, because we only have like 1 minute left. So let's
see. Is he able to take on that case with Reverend Joy Powell?
Yeah. Kamal has done so many cases for us. He is currently at capacity right now with this one, but Kamal has done so much for us. He was a lawyer for when our Cop Watch crew got arrested. He's you know, he's provided legal on so many things. He's a valuable asset. And brilliant person.
Okay, well, we're down officially to our last 30 seconds. Family, I thank all of you for tuning in. Maybe we can
thank
get Brother
you.
Joe to come back on maybe Tuesday's show, Sister Manira. Brother Joe, I'll give you a call and let you know about our Tuesday program, because that's
please
specifically
do.
About sisters.
Please do. Please do. Please
all right, good, thanks. All right, family, unfortunately, we have run out of time. We apologize for getting bumped off a few moments. We would have had Sister Manira on a little quicker if we couldn't get back online. But at any rate, we thank you
thank
all
you so
again,
much.
And we thank Brother Joe. We'll be back next Saturday, same time, new day, resurrection, liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and we leave you with the idea of course, Ma'at Hotep. Remember, there can be no peace without justice. Until next week.
Everybody, free the land.